I just wanted to give a little devotional here at this hour from Philippians chapter 3 and verses 7 to 11. I'm going to read from the King James Version. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the resurrection which is of God by faith, that I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable to His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Well, we rejoice this morning at the power of the resurrection of Christ Jesus our Lord. We know it's the same power which is really at work in our lives if we've come to know Him. His Holy Spirit was given to us when we first believed, and each Christian should understand that God's in the process of changing them, transforming them into Christ's image and likeness day by day, so that we might become more like Him and thus glorify God. And that's what we generally usually call our sanctification. But in order to make real progress in holiness, Paul now speaks about something which builds off of that glorious reality of the Spirit's indwelling, that is, that there's an excellency in knowing Christ which goes beyond the excellency of any other thing in this world or in this life. So you are being brought to that blessed state, if you are a Christian, where you see that it is important for you to strive to win Christ. That's what Paul is saying here. You already have Christ, if you're a true Christian, but you would win Him. It says here, I love that King James translation, that I might win Him. In the other translations, it is that it would be gain to me. But you want to strive to win Him in order that you might know Him better and receive the best and the highest of blessings which can come to you if you have a sincere love and obedience to Him for all that He has done for you. It will be because you love Him preeminently over every earthly person and thing that you will strive to win Him. And when you're striving like this, you're striving to come to have the full assurance, really, of your salvation. And not simply professing to know Christ, but really coming to know the power of His resurrection. That's what I want to bring to your attention here at this time. That's the primary thing in your life. And once you have won Him in this singular way that we're talking about, you will, in your experience, come to realize in a more tangible way the power of His resurrection in all of your efforts to glorify God. So just for a few minutes, I want to speak to you about how you might win Christ and come to know Him in a greater sense, that is, the power of His resurrection in your heart and life. Two phrases I just want you to focus on with me here. Counting all things loss for the excellency of knowing Christ, and that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection. First, to count all things but loss for the excellency of knowing Christ. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung or rubbish, that I may win Christ. The things that Paul thought were gain to him, he now counted as loss for the sake of Christ. What were these things? They were his religious privileges that he listed earlier in the chapter, his supposedly having a righteous and moral character. He was actually a self-righteous Pharisee. He thought that it was by his ceremonial and outward religious works that he could find favor with God. He thought of himself before he came to Christ as one who was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, that he had been circumcised, and he thought that was enough for his salvation. He understood the Old Testament scriptures pretty well, he thought. He thought he was blameless in relation to the law. He was zealous for the traditions of the fathers of Judaism, and he was a zealous persecutor of the church. Actually, he gloried in these things before he came to know Jesus Christ. All these things, I'm saying, brought to him sort of a strange and false assurance that he knew God. But he did not know God, for he did not know Christ. And these religious pursuits that had been gained to him in the sense that he had become well known as a supposed authority on what true Judaism was, those things were the things, I'm saying, that he thought highly of. But when he came to Christ, then he saw all those things as loss. I wonder if you have come to that place where you see it that way. All those things that you once thought were great about yourself or about what you're doing or the reason that you were living, all those things you now count as loss for the sake of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Because that's how great a subject this is that we're talking about. That Paul considered all these things as loss that he might win Christ. Then came his conversion. You remember that, where the Lord surrounded him with blinding light, called him to account for his hateful and persecuting ways, and then he understood the meaning of life. He then understood that all these things that he had considered gain were actually something that he now considered as loss, and he stopped boasting in these things. And he realized that to know Christ and to follow Christ was the greatest thing in his life. Do you see it that way for yourself? The greatest thing is to know Christ. Before we were converted, we may have thought that just going to church was enough for us to ensure that we knew God, that we were going to heaven. And we thought it was gain if we had a good family in a worldly sense of material prosperity and earthly happiness and good friends who would tell us what we wanted to hear, and things which were compromises to biblical truth, didn't require any self-denial. Those were the kinds of things that were, we thought, really pretty good. It didn't really matter. The specifics of the Bible didn't really matter. And the truth of the Bible really wasn't all that important. All that mattered was your sincere desire to go to church and to please God. But then we really came to know the truth about ourselves, didn't we? There came a point where we really did. And we realized that our heart was deceitful. And it was desperately wicked, and we didn't know our own heart. And we came to know the truth about Christ, which led us then to the experience of knowing Christ Himself, Christ Jesus our Lord, and the excellency of that knowledge. We came to see that Jesus alone was righteous, that we couldn't save ourselves from our sins. We prayed to be saved, and the things which were once gained to us became loss, and we left them behind. And I'm saying, let's praise God this morning for that. Let's praise God that we have been able to leave these old things that we once gloried in behind. Because it was Christ's resurrection power working in our lives that convinced us that we were sinners against the Lord. That we were convinced that only the Lord could justify us, that we couldn't justify ourselves in the sight of God. We knew nothing of the glory of a holy life until Christ revealed it to us. And this working of His resurrection power was to us our personal revelation that we needed Christ. That's where it began. That's where the glory of knowing Christ began, was seeing that we couldn't save ourselves. When we began to see that we must have Him if we were to be saved, or if we were to become mature in our thinking. And this was the working of the power of Christ's resurrection when we were born again by the Spirit of God, and having been raised from our death and trespasses and sins, we were made alive spiritually. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, but it's the gift of God, lest anybody should boast, it says there in Ephesians 2. But we then realized that all that we had ever done to merit favor with God was utterly worthless. It was loss to us. But now we've got something far better. We have Christ Himself. We have Christ Himself. And so we, like Paul, we suffer the loss of all things for the excellency of this wonderful knowledge that Christ has become our Savior. All these things of the past, that is, that I mentioned to you. And so what do we do now that we've found this great and strong Redeemer? Well, we strive to win Him, Paul says. We strive to win Him. And that's the greatest thing that you can do in this life as a Christian, to win Christ and to be found in Him, not having a righteousness of your own, which is of the law, but it's by simply through faith in Christ that you come to know the reality of this power in your life to go about and do and keep the commandments of God. You're not under law, you're under grace. But since you're not under law and you're under grace, what should you do? You should strive to win Christ and be found in Him, not trying to have your own righteousness, which is of the law, boasting in what you have done as a Christian, but boasting in Christ and what He has done in and through you. In other words, all other things must come to be subservient to knowing Him, or they will be lost to you and not real gain to you. But to know the power of Christ's resurrection in your life, that is true gain. And that is the ultimate reality towards which each of us ought to strive. And then very briefly, I might make mention of this phrase, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. This phrase clearly shows us the power of Christ's resurrection is directly related to our being conformed to Christ's death. That's its intent, that we might be able to die to sin and live to righteousness in the expectation of the coming resurrection of the dead. Romans 6:10 says that the death that Christ died, He died to sin once for all, but the life that He lives to God. And so we're not to let sin reign in our mortal body, that we should obey its lusts. And we should not present our members, Paul says, as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present ourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and our members as instruments of righteousness to God. And all of this mortification of sin, and all of this using our bodies as instruments of righteousness to God, comes from the power of Christ's resurrection. Oh, it's such a glorious thing to see. Because what makes the Christian want to put sin to death in their life? Is it not the power of the resurrection at work in their heart? When they see the excellency of knowing Christ, and that sin only blockades that relationship? But with Christ, we have this power, the power of the resurrection. And the needed grace will most certainly come to each believer in Christ. And this is why Christ died. And this is why He rose again. And therefore, we should remember what it says in Romans 6:4, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. And that's the power of Christ's resurrection, to unite us to Himself by His blessed Holy Spirit, and then to give us grace to be able to walk in newness of life. And then we will have the blessed confidence that we shall attain to the resurrection of the righteous. There'll be two different resurrections at the end when Christ returns. There'll be the resurrection of the just, or the resurrection of the righteous. And then there'll be the resurrection of the wicked. And you and I and everyone here will want to attain to the resurrection of the righteous, if we have any sense in our own mind of what these blessed realities are of heaven and hell and Jesus being raised from the dead, then we will glory in Christ Jesus today and our relationship with Him is the most excellent of things in our life. And we should look forward to that day when we're raised from the dead, knowing that He is raised from the dead and seated at the right hand of the Father. We now glory in that. We are seated with Him in the heavenly places. And then also we glory in the fact that He shall someday raise us. And we will be like Him in His image and likeness. Well, let's pray together. Father, we thank You for this short time around Your Word, and we pray that the power of the resurrection would be known and realized in our hearts in a great way today and every day as we go about to do Your will. May we have great joy today in serving You and worshiping You and making the most of this opportunity to spend this day and time in worship to You, knowing that our Lord is risen from the dead, and we glory in that blessed fact. For we pray it in Your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, I think we ought to sing one more hymn here together. We have time for this? Yeah, we're doing pretty good, aren't we? Here we go. Lo, in the grave He lay, Jesus, my Savior.
Lo, in the grave He lay, Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave He arose, with a mighty triumph for His foes. He arose the victor from the dark domain, and He lives forever with His saints to reign. He arose, He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Vainly they watch His bed, Jesus, my Savior. Vainly they seal the dead, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave He arose, with a mighty triumph for His foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and He lives forever with His saints to reign. He arose, He arose, hallelujah. death cannot keep his prey. Jesus, my Savior, he tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, alleluia, Christ arose, amen.
Amen. He is risen. All right.